Hello, and thank you for listening to this week's podcast from our gathered services at Cross Point Church, South Orlando. We pray that God uses today's message to help fix your eyes and hearts on Christ. If you have any questions about what it means to follow Jesus, or you want to learn more about Cross Point Church, please visit us at xpoint.com. That's xpoint.com. And we pray that you enjoy today's message.
Well, good morning, church. My name is Justin. I'm one of the deacons here at Cross Point, and it is my joy and honor really to be sharing God's word with you this morning. Man, I just want to take some time and say, like, if this is your first time tuning in, I just want to say thank you for watching us. And man, I hope that you would stick around and hopefully one day get to see your face in person and meet you and give you a 6 foot away hug and an air elbow thing. And man, if you're looking for a church family, then I pray that the Lord would deepen your affection to come be family with us here at Cross Point. If this is not your first time here and we know each other, then man, I miss you and I can't wait to see you again. And I'm just so happy that we get to share this time together. So if you're ready to study your Bibles, why don't you go ahead and turn with me to Ephesians 3. And as you're turning, I just want to be able to frame up some of our time this morning. To my knowledge, this sermon series is actually really different than what we like normally do here at Cross Point. If you've been with us for however long, then you know what we typically do is we preach through books of the Bible through months at a time, and we go verse by verse and we kind of hang out in those books for a while. But in this time, we're actually looking at this set of verses for a couple of weeks, and rightfully so, right? The depth of this prayer here is, just so rich, and it's a prayer that Paul is praying for a specific body of Christians at the Church of Ephesus, and his prayer is for them to be renewed, to be revived, to be stirred again by the awesome wonder of God and his love for us. Now, immediately in that, you can hear that there's a difference in the recipient of this message or this prayer, or even this text, right? Paul is exclusively praying on behalf of or speaking to believers. And as a natural cause of exegesis, so would I. But if you don't have your faith placed in the risen Savior, if you don't know where your relationship is with Jesus, hey, I want you to stick with us to the end of this series, and just kind of hang out and hear and see what it is we have going on here. Because if you were here like physically, right, like maybe the awkward walk back to your car would compel you to stay and listen to the sermon, but you're not. You're at home, and at home you can just turn me off or switch to another church stream. So I just want to ask, I just want to encourage, hey, if this sounds like you're on the outside of this, stay with us, because in reality, everything that we're speaking about this morning is available to you. It is for you, can be for you. And in fact, if you've ever had the curious idea of what is it like to be a Christian, this speaks to what life in him looks like. It's life can be really difficult sometimes, right? It's stressful. It's overly nuanced. People are very difficult. It's complicated. It's exhausting. Living is sort of like appetite. sometimes you're full and you're okay. Other times you're hungry and you're looking for something to eat. And other times you have no appetite at all. And this text really speaks to kind of the last two people there. Because even if you're a Christian, right? Even if you're a believer, you felt those ways about God. You felt those ways in your walk. Sometimes you have felt, I don't even hunger and thirst right now. Sometimes you felt, I'm just hungry and I don't know where to look. And so I think this speaks to that stage. So let's read our text, pray, and see what the Lord has for us this morning. Ephesians 3, verse 14. And it says, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Pray with me. God, we look to you this morning, knowing in full confidence that there is nothing greater here on earth than your word. No person, no idea, no construct or thing that stands next to it by comparison or stands up to it by opposition. You have given us such a great gift, but even greater than the gift of your word, you have given us your son. And it is his name we long to make famous this morning. Let the wells of our hearts be filled again by this text, by your word, and be strengthened by your spirit. In Christ Jesus' name, amen. So over the last 5 weeks, we've looked at these verses extensively as evidence or proof almost that the renewal of the Christian is to be constantly sought after, patiently waited upon, and cooperatively and privately experienced. And we have expounded on the need for it, the way it is to be gone about, the way it is to be cultivated, right? And family, I ask as I look back on all those weeks, I ask, have you sought after it? Have you prayed for it, for yourself and for your neighbor, for your family and for your church, for your communities? Have you longed for more of the presence of God than you have ever before? Do you find yourself like the deer who pants for the flowing water of the brook, the endless supply of living water to satiate your appetite? I want to know, have you prayed for it? Have you sought after it? And as I think on the context of these verses, Christians struggling with their outside circumstances, Paul prays, let them be filled with the fullness of God. Is that not an incredible plea? I find myself agreeing with Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, who said on these verses, there is no more staggering a statement in the whole range of scripture than this. The way another commentator puts it is, this is the climax of prayer. Not of this prayer, right? Like, because we're reading a prayer. This is not like the peak of this prayer. This commentator is saying, like, no, this is the climax of all prayer. The category of prayer, this is the peak of it. This statement, that they would be filled with the fullness of God. And I find that fascinating that Paul's language here is not pleading with God for him to fix their external circumstances, but rather the internal. He says, strengthen your inner man. Let them comprehend the richness of your love. Fill them up. Now, there can be a couple of pitfalls to understanding this sort of concept, right? So I want to caution us as we read this, sometimes out of ignorance of our own heart's state, our own range of emotional bandwidth, it can deter us, not being aware of that. It can distract us from this comprehension that Paul is talking about, right? So I'll put it to you this way. Recently, we got a new puppy in my house. And she's 3 months. Well, she's about to be 3 months. And so the world is new for her, right? She's easily distracted. And so we're house training. But part of house training means I have to wake up in the middle of the night to take her outside so that she learns not inside, outside. So in her newness, the world around her, she's very aware of all the little things around her that can easily distract her from her command, from her training, from her call. I take her outside, put her down, go. And any little noise, whether it's a passing car or a jogger or the sound of something not even in our community, but that you can hear from, either terrifies her or excites her. And so now what was a quick 5 minute outside bathroom break turns into me standing outside for 20 minutes at 3 o'clock in the morning trying to get this dog to go. This is a small glimpse of what I'm talking about here, that we can be easily distracted. We can be easily not obeying the commands of our master for every little interesting thing or something that would fear us. Now, I want us to start here this morning, really, at a place of examining where our own hearts are now. And I'll leave room. Maybe you're happy, you're full, you're joyful, you're encouraged, and praise God for that. But as we connect ourselves to the recipients of this prayer, I wonder, is there some of you that are tired, some of you that are worried, that are anxious, irritable, fearful, stressed, maybe thin? Another pitfall we can have when interacting with a text like this is a misdiagnosis of the cure. Christ is the answer for everything, yes and amen. However, notice here that the solution to the Ephesians church's problems is not diagnosed by examining their salvation. Their answers are not trust in Christ as Savior for the eternity of your soul, but actually the remedy, the antidote, is found in the encouragement of their sanctification process or their journey in becoming more like Christ. See, Christ is everything. He must be. Don't hear me say anything otherwise. But because Christ is the fulfillment of all promises, that Christ is literally the living picture of a pinky swear kept, because we are His, because of Him, we are the inheritors of the Holy Ghost to transform us from the inside out. This is beautiful news. This is news worth shouting about, that Christ has saved you, yes, but He also keeps you by His grace and by the grace and mercy of the Father. But this ongoing work of the Spirit is happening in us and will never be let go in this walk when we're stressed, when we're thin, when we're empty. We're still His. When we feel tired, God will lift us. When we feel burdened, He says, cast those burdens on me. We are being sustained. And Paul prays for our strength, our love of God, and our fullness in Him. This is theology at the top of the ladder. But family, once again, notice that Paul's theology here leads him to a doxology. That is to say that what he knows about God leads him to a right worship of God, more deeply rooted, more deeply saturated, that a right thinking of God leads to a right praise of God. This is a heart swelling with praise to God for this work. Look at verse 20. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Once again, turn your attention to the writing style of Paul, the run-on sentences, the abuse of the comma, the piling of synonyms to emphasize
recognize the weight of a particular point, in this case, eternity. There is no stoicism, no stodginess, no coldness in Paul's praise to God. His theology has not caused him to remain reserved, and even in his speech, even in his prayer. In this letter to the Ephesian church, we've seen this before. In chapter 1, he abuses the comma. I mean, just run on sentence after run, the whole chapter. And here, it's just joy that brings this out of him. Family, feel that kind of freedom of expression in God's riches. And as we continue to examine these verses even closer, before us, we see that Paul's prayer here is in three petitions, two of which Pastor Steve preached on last week. But if I can reiterate, his first petition is for the strengthening of our souls, their inner man. The second petition is to comprehend the love of God. See, the purpose of comprehending his love is so that you can be strengthened, right? And this morning, we focus on the third petition, be filled with the fullness of God. Family, to be renewed is to know the love of Christ in such a way that your soul is strengthened, rooted deeply in that love, and you are filled with his fullness. See, the third petition is the result of the first two. But what does this mean then, right? Why should we be filled up again? So my hope this morning, my aim, my submission to you, church, is honestly singular. I have one point for us. That we walk away from this text that knowing that God desires to fill you up in order for you to be more deeply formed into the image of Jesus, that our maturation in the faith will not increase until the love of the Father is more deeply rooted in our inner being. So let's break this down. What does it mean to be filled with the fullness of God? How do we understand this from Paul, who also said in Colossians 1, in Christ, the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. How can God fill us with the same fullness he done filled his son up with? Has he not already also done this to us? I mean, if we keep reading Colossians and in chapter 2, he says, for in Christ, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily and you have been filled in him. So I hope this illustration settles the beautiful complexity that we see here. I have a small bottle of sand that I was supposed to bring and I forgot. But I have a small bottle. It's about this big. Right. And it's maybe like the gauge is like that. And it's filled with red sand. OK, the sand is from the Saharan Desert. Here's a story of how that came to be. My wife and I, one of our longest and dearest friends, in July of 2016, her and her cousin set out to go on the adventure of a lifetime. They're not world traveling people. I mean, we've known her since high school, and she doesn't travel. So this was a remarkable, significant moment in her life to go to another country, yet to see a wonder like this, right? So they plan this trip to Morocco, and in planning this trip, they had scheduled the ultimate excursion, right? The way she puts it was, in my whole time in Morocco, this was the most sought after day. Like, I just could not wait for this day. The plan was to travel on camelback during sunset into the Saharan Desert, make camp in the desert, and then ride back during sunrise. And so the day had finally came, and she and her cousin get on camelback. The camel's name was Beans, which is just an incredible name for a camel. And she says they set out, and she said the vastness of the desert was beautiful. It was incredible. She said just being in its presence, just riding through it, it's nothing but mountains of sand. And she said it was peaceful. It was calming. It was just so unique. Sand is soft than anything she had ever felt before. And they made camp. They stayed the night. And as they were at their camp, her and her cousin wanted something to remember the trip by. And so they had a jar, and they filled the jar with sand. Church, the bottle, the jar, could not contain all the Sahara. But the bottle, the jar, could be filled with the fullness of the Sahara. What I have in my home is a jar filled with Saharan desert, the fullness of Saharan desert. It's not Saharan desert mixed with beach sand. No, this is fully through and through sand from the Saharan desert. The bottle could not contain all of it. I hope you're not missing this. You and I are filled with the fullness of God, but not all of God. But what we have is his fullness. We cannot contain all of him. We are the bottle that is filled to the brim with his fullness. Though mine is made of glass, Paul says ours is an earthen vessel, right? A clay pot. The expanse of God could not fit entirely into the bottle, but the bottle could be filled up. Paul is saying, church, be filled up. Be filled up and be filled up again. But this isn't it. Paul's language here, it's weighty, it's loaded. It's not coincidence that it sounds just like Colossians, family. In the same way that Paul is calling the church at Ephesus, calling us to be filled up with the fullness of God, he is reminding us, family, that there is only one man who has been filled with the complete whole fullness of God, that there is one man who could hold the entirety of deity dwelling in him, and there was one man who the fullness of God was pleased to dwell in, that one man who the whole deity of God indwelled bodily. Oh, church, Christ came full of God, not like you and I are, but full of God. He is the vessel who is able to contain the entire desert. Not just a portion of it, but all of it. See, he came into this world even still being able to do this. He still came into the world in the human way, in the lowly way, not for us to be proud and boast that we have this fullness, but to point to him and say, only he, my fullness, me being filled up to the brim, is not so that you can point at me. It's so that you can point at him. When I pray for God to fill me up again, I'm not saying fill me for me. I'm saying fill me up with more of you. I want more of you for your glory and your kingdom. See, you and I, we need to be strengthened just to be filled with a smidgen of God's wholeness. But Christ held all of it. He has all of it. The expanse of God fit into Christ. And you and I can be filled up. Can be filled up with this fullness. See, when we dip a toe in the vastness of his expanse, we're immediately filled up. But we can always receive more. The more we receive of God, the more we can receive of God. This is our sanctification, our maturation in him, that the more we grow, the deeper rooted in his love we are, the more we can receive of him, the more we are filled up with his fullness until the day we experience eternity merged, integrated with his fullness completely. Praise God for this. Praise him, because he is not far from us. He is not far from his children. He gifts us his church, his bride, with himself and more of it. Oh, that we would be a people who long together for more of God, more of him, that our need for him, our dependence on his power and might would drive us to request more of him. more of himself on us, in us. To him who is able to do far more abundantly than we can even ask or think. Oh, church, you have not figured this out. Paul, you have not confined God to systems of theological frameworks, but instead, church, instead of us dying on hills of theological nuances, could we be like Paul? Could we be more Pauline in that we can leave room for God to do what he has to do to fill us up? See, Paul, he had right theology and right orthopraxy. Like him, could we be like him in the way that we speak about God and live out his calling for us? Could we fall on our knees and beg God to move in our hearts, move in our families, move in our church so that he could give us more of himself? Could we do that? Could we ask that our fragile little vessels be filled up again? And this is what Paul is praying here. Be filled with the fullness of God. Be filled up. If the love of Christ is in us, church, and we are filled with the fullness of God, then how ready should we be then to meet the family that are not yet ours? How ready should we be to meet those who are not yet the Lord's people? Let us love the ones who have not yet come into the fold. Let us love them in such a way that they can see that God's love is palpable, that it permeates through our skin. All of what God has given us in himself, could we be so filled that people around us would experience who God is, not who we are, but who God is through us. Revival in our time today looks like God's people showing God's love plainly. Speak to all who would listen. Share with all those who are in need. Our presence that is filled to the brim with the fullness of God would be a benediction to them. And let me ask you this. Are you a presence of peace? When our friend rode through the Saharan desert, she said the vastness, the fullness of its beauty was peaceful to her. It was calming. Is that you, church? Do you reflect the one who fills you up? It is by grace that you were even given a droplet of his fullness. But church, do you reflect that grace? Charles Spurgeon says in a prayer to his church, if you go to a fountain and find no water flowing, that fountain mocks your thirst. It is useless. Therefore, do not forget that if you ever become empty of grace, you mock those who look to you. Do we reflect that? As we pray for the renewal of our hearts, the renewal of our souls, to be filled up again with the fullness of God, do we reflect that fullness? Let the broken fountain not be true of us. Let us look to Christ, who the whole deity of God dwelled, and let us be strengthened by it. Let us comprehend his love, and let us be filled up with his fullness. Let us be renewed. Grace and peace to you.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to today's message. We pray that it was a blessing in your life. And if you do have any questions about what it means to follow Jesus or about Cross Point Church, please visit us at xpoint.com. And please feel free to subscribe to this podcast. We are updating these messages every week following our gatherings on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. Thank you, and have a great week.